This is the Edisto TV podcast, connecting the Blackwater region.
Welcome to another edition of the Edisto TV podcast. This is episode 15. I'm Hugo.
And I'm Tom.
And we are here today with Doug Busby, live in studio. Say hello, Doug.
Hello.
As some of you probably know, if you've been sticking with the podcast this long, Doug was kind of the instigator of the initial concern that was raised about what was happening with the Edisto and water withdrawals. And we have all been working together on this a fair bit now since November of last year, and wanted to take advantage of this week's podcast to just sit down with Doug, talk about this and that. There are a few things that have come up. There is a new surface water withdrawal registration on Goodland Creek, which is down near Springfield, and that is something that we definitely need to talk about. And it raises some interesting implications in terms of what's up with the safe yield calculation, so we want to dig into that a little bit. Also, Doug and I went over to Williston last Monday and attended an EPA update on the Admiral Appliances Superfund site cleanup effort, so we'll talk about that a little bit. And we're also going to talk about ongoing efforts to find some common ground on the surface water withdrawal law. But to get things started, Doug, talk about just what's on your mind as far as how far we've come since you first found out about the potato farm on the South Fork and where you think we stand at this point.
Well, things have evolved considerably. We've gone from I hate to say use this word, but a term enemy of the farmer to actually the farmer is actually on our side in terms of Walthers, and we've gotten to know them quite well. They are good, respectable farmers and do so in a very efficient way, and we've come a long way in understanding their process and why they came here. And they were led to believe that there was an abundance of water in our rivers and through the, quote, safe yield. But it has, and the more we study, the more we find that this formula is, for lack of a better word, flawed in a lot of ways. And it is anything but safe. And we've come to realize that this week.
All right. And Tom, do you have anything you want to jump into in terms of how we got to this point before we get to this week's news about the new registration over there on Goodland Creek?
Well, just that the safe yield, you know, as we talk about how we're going to change the law, is one thing that people are starting to reach some consensus on is that, you know, ag registrations probably need to be some kind of permitting. And it seems we've heard some agreement about that, but there's also a question of whether we should revisit this idea of safe yield. And I think what Doug's bringing to light is what we've learned and seen over the last couple months. And when DHEC does a registration, they say what the safe yield is for that particular body of water at that particular point. And so what we're going to show you, or what Doug probably want to talk about and what we'll post on the web, is Goodland Creek, which has been now allowed for 800 plus million gallons per month of safe yield, is ankle deep and just a few feet wide. And so when
y'all shot some excellent pictures of that with Doug standing in the creek.
I just can't even imagine how you get 800 million gallons a month out of that thing without taking every drop.
Okay. Well, in the words that DHEC uses in their notice of this thing, Turf Connections Sod Farm in Springfield, South Carolina, that's in Orangeburg County, the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control is providing a courtesy notice regarding a new surface water withdrawal registration for the Edisto River Basin. Turf Connections Sod Farm will withdraw surface water from Goodland Creek, that's a tributary of the South Edisto River in Orangeburg County, for the purpose of irrigating cropland. The registration application specifies the maximum anticipated volume of water needed in any single month as 15 million gallons per month, that's MGM, and the safe yield for the withdrawal is calculated to be 818 million gallons a month. The registered withdrawal of 15 million gallons a month is, they say, well within the safe yield, at the withdrawal point, and therefore the registration was issued in accordance with the Surface Water Withdrawal Permitting Use and Reporting Regulation. And the notice has been provided for information only by our friends over at DHEC.
So my question to Doug is, you know, what is your concern about this safe yield? What do you see happening, and what do you see the potential effects down in the future?
Tom, the mere fact that the creek is ankle deep and 4 or 5 foot wide at the max is spooky. But what is really shocking is the fact that in this ankle-deep creek, there's 803 million gallons of safe yield left, according to the formula, which means, and for lack of a better reference, that means that two farms the size of Walther's could exist on this ankle-deep creek.
That's under the modified Walther registration of 400 million gallons a month at the Augusta Plantation site. Yeah,
that is correct. And or 50 plus farms of the same 15 million gallons per month could exist. And this is just it's ridiculous. It is a small child can see that there's no way. There's no way this huge farm could exist on the bank of this small creek.
So is your concern that they're over allocating the water resources?
What is showing is that not only are we over-allocating our on the agricultural side, but the same safe yield formula is used in the industrial side as well, is what I'm understanding. And so what it does, it invites industry and farmers into our state with the promise of this abundance of water, which turns out to be misleading and to them, and gets their investments in here. And then come to find out there's not near as much water as they first thought.
So if I was Walther's and I came here expecting that, since DHEC said I have 800 million gallons a month, I assume that I have it, and then to find out down the road maybe it's not really all there.
That's exactly right. This past week we were in a very slow period of rain, and we almost were in a drought situation as well. But at the Denmark Bridge, we were sitting at 139 cubic feet per second, and we did some calculations to compensate for the different creeks coming in, and the safe yield in front of Walther's farm, converting it to cubic feet per second, was around 280 or 90. Is that right, Hugo?
I've got some notes here. Walther Farms is registered at this point to withdraw 400 million gallons a month, which calculates out to about 25 cubic feet per second of withdrawal from the South Fork Edisto. Safe yield at that site was calculated at 298 cubic feet per second, based on the legally defined formula where 80% of the mean annual daily flow is the safe yield. Mean annual daily flow at the Walther site, 373 cubic feet per second. And as of August 29th, 2014, flow in the South Fork at the Denmark gauge, 150 cubic feet a second. So today's estimated flow at the Walther site, using the formula that they use, 78 cubic feet per second. So with that as an example from August 29th this month, or just last week, the actual flow in the river, only 26% of the calculated safe yield of 298 cubic feet per second, at only 78 cubic feet per second. So how do you allocate 298 cubic feet per second to surface water withdrawal from a river flowing at 78 cubic feet per second? And before people start thinking that I am, in fact, a math genius, I want to thank Bill Marshall for walking me through that and helping me to understand the mathematics of it all.
I don't think it will work unless their pumps can convert sand into water. You know, there's no way. There's no way. So what we're seeing is the actual flow in front of Walther's place was 78 cubic feet, and the safe yield formula says that it could yield 298 cubic feet per second. So we've got a formula that encourages over allocation, and it encourages a sense of falsehood.
And also keeping in mind that, as we've been saying from the beginning, when people need the water worst is when the least water is there.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Tom and I watched Willow Swamp Creek. We saw on Willow Swamp Creek, which has essentially quit flowing. It is not flowing at all. And the pools were trapped full of redbreasts and bass and jackfish. And if no rain came in the last day or so, they will die this week. I feel sure they will.
And that's a perfect example of the interview we did with Aaron Kilpatrick the other day, talking about refugial pools.
Right.
That's a refugial pool that you're describing right there. And as soon as there's not enough oxygen there to support those fish, they will die.
But this creek as well, the Willow Swamp Creek, is one I'm well familiar with. I've walked it, hunted it all my life, and it has a lot of agriculture on the head of it, and as does Rocky Swamp Creek. And but again, it's not the farmers' fault. I don't want people to think we are against the farmers, because we are not. They feed us every day, and I'm thankful for it. But what I am afraid is happening is that the farmers are having a false sense of security as well, led into believe that all of this water is there, and we have an abundance of groundwater, which we don't know, because we've not had any studies done with this groundwater as well. And we're trying to encourage, and it's a movement within the state to have a statewide groundwater study done. But it creates a false sense of security for industry and ag.
Yeah, and on the topic of studies of groundwater, just a quick aside, as you know, there has been an ongoing effort to arrange a USGS study of groundwater in Aiken County. There was initially a decision on the part of the city of Aiken that they were going to contribute towards that study and benefit from it mutually with the rest of the other agencies in Aiken County are doing that. Our understanding is that the city of Aiken has now pulled out of that. Is that correct?
That is correct. City of Aiken has decided that they've had some shakeup within their management, and that they don't see a need to do a county study, but believe it is a statewide problem. And to quote Mayor Kavanaugh, he believes we all pull out of the same pool. And I agree with that 100%. I honestly believe our groundwater is all connected, as well as our surface water in some aspect. But Aiken County, USGS is wanting to do Aiken County first because it is at the headwaters of the groundwater. We're kind of in a unique situation in that we are a sand-based county predominantly, and we are just below the fall line and still yet at the top. And the water that falls here, the way I understand the USGS, the coast, what goes into the ground here, essentially they're using it along the coast in a tremendous amount. And they are pumping off of the bottom of the aquifer, and we're at the top of the bucket. So guess who runs out of water first? And that is why the USGS is wanting to do a study on Aiken County and kind of use us as the pilot program. And I would encourage Aiken city officials to please reconsider and let's get it done. And I think there is some movement within the county council to get appropriation and funding.
Okay. Well, we will keep an eye on that. As I say, most of what I know about it is secondhand, but I know you've been in touch with the folks over in Aiken. So as that develops, we'll touch base with you again. We're going to take a quick break now here on the Edisto TV podcast, and we'll be back in just a moment with more.
Hey, this is Tom from Edisto TV, welcoming our new sponsor, the Black River Chop House in Orangeburg, recently voted by the Times and Democrat as the best place for a cocktail, best place for nightlife. Check out the team over there at the Black River Chop House in Orangeburg Mall. Great place to go when you're thirsty, great place to go with some old friends, or go meet some new ones. Black River Chop House, quality food and spirits in the heart of Orangeburg.
For more information and archived podcasts, visit us at edisto.tv.
And we're back on the Edisto TV podcast. We're here with Doug Busby. And Doug, let's step back and look at what we think that the conservation groups here in South Carolina ought to be asking for. A lot of people, since this very first began, have been saying, okay, so what do we want? How are we going to fix this? What's reasonable? And I think that we all agree that what we want is the Surface Water Withdrawal Act to do what it's supposed to do and provide all of the stakeholders with an equitable share in the resource while still protecting the resource and the rivers. Is that an accurate?
Amen.
All right.
Exactly
so
right.
So in our conversations, and keeping in mind that we speak for ourselves and to lots of other people, but not for any of the various interest and advocacy groups who are involved in the issue, I think we can hone down what we want at this point to three things. First of all, we want a threshold set, and we are suggesting that that should be at the 3 million gallons a month level that currently calls for an ag registration. But we want a threshold set at which agricultural withdrawals of surface water have to go through the permitting process the same as any other withdrawal of surface water. Is that?
That's exactly right.
Correct.
Agreed 100%.
Okay. The second thing that we want is we want a safe yield calculation that actually provides for safe yield. And in our last segment, we talked a bit about some examples of why that isn't the case now. And I don't know that we are the water scientists to provide the information about what the new calculation ought to be, but we have experts who know about these things, and they need to come together. There seems to be fairly wide consensus that what we have now is inappropriate and does not work, and we need a new formula that actually does what it's supposed to do and provides a number for a safe yield amount. And in keeping with that, the third thing that we're after is that there be some kind of minimum in-stream flow requirement. That means that a withdrawal can't just withdraw everything that is flowing through the river at any given time. And I think in our conversation, we think that it's appropriate that that minimum in-stream flow amount should be determined as a unique thing for each registration.
That's right.
As part of the actual permitting, since we're saying we want to do away with the registration and have it be a permit. So having set out that groundwork, you've been having a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. What is the appetite for the changes that we're calling for? My initial feeling is we may have a chance with the permit in place of registration thing, but the other ones we're going to face an uphill fight.
I think you're right, Hugo. You know, I've been in touch with a good bit of the Farm Bureau organizations and the farm family and the farm leadership, and you know, they have an appetite to change the minimum in stream and possibly at some threshold let it go to let a large farm be considered within the permitting process, but they have no desire whatsoever to get into safe yield recalculation in the formula. And after this weekend and after seeing what could exist on the bank of this tiny stream, I don't believe this movement can survive. I don't believe our rivers can survive without some type of an adjustment, some type of a recalculation in the formula. I really think that we're going to have to re-examine that safe yield formula soon.
Well, it seems like we got enough evidence right now. Just looking at the Walthers, and you run the numbers and say, you know, who at DHEC or DNR would say that we could take that much water right now with the, quote, safe
yield?
Well,
and to be fair, our friends at DNR have said all along that this was a problem. And under the existing ag registration thing, DNR had absolutely no say in either one of the registrations for the Walther site that has been passed along.
Exactly.
So we're not whipping on DNR, but DHEC, we're looking at you.
Right. Well, DHEC says it's not their job. So the point is, who is watching after the river? If right now DHEC has over-allocated the water to the point that literally they could take every drop, then... And right now, they could take what they're allowed to take, and they could take it all. And who would say that that's okay? So I think we got to get that in front of people and get legislators to look at that and say, no, that's not okay.
Well, and the answer to the question of who would say that it is okay at this point is the legislators who put into place the existing Surface Water Withdrawal Act. Yeah. And so, like I said in my preface to this section, I think it's really important that we point out that our goal is not to break new ground. Our goal is to have the existing law do what it exists to do.
Amen. Amen. I spent a good portion of Friday morning on the phone with DHEC officials, which I had not talked to previous. And, I learned a couple things. Number one, their hands are tied. Their hands are tied. They have interpreted the law, and they are executing the law as they see it. And as regardless of its flaws, they are executing it to the best of their ability. And I asked Mr. Bishop, which is the one that actually did the issuing of the permit. If you look on the bottom of that permit, his name is on it. And I asked him, I said, did you go to this site? Did you look at this site or physically examine it? And he said, no. He said, we're not required. We only to require GPS coordinates and know exactly where it is. And then they have a formula that they use for deduction of how much stream flow, median flow, is in that creek. And I said, do you realize it's very possible you've issued a registration on a dry creek? He says, no. I said, well, it's possible. And I didn't find it dry, but I found it very shallow, as you can see in my picture. And it was surprising. This 15 million gallon will probably now what the general practice is to dig a canal from the high ground on a piece of property through the swamp into the stream, and that canal will act as a reservoir. Well, what we've seen on the Salkehatchee is happening in several places. This little small stream, because of drought conditions, it gets down to a small stream, and when it comes to this canal, it just takes a left or right turn and goes in there, and the stream essentially ends right there. And we've seen that happen, and there's no doubt in my mind that this will happen in this case too, even with just 15 million gallons.
Right. Well, the 15 million gallon a month amount amounts to, I understand, 0.9 cubic feet per second. So you figure that's about the size of a gallon milk jug coming out every second from that flow where you're standing. Yeah. And I think that we can agree, looking at the picture, that by itself isn't going to drain Goodland Creek. But as we said before, this safe yield analysis that says that there's 818 million gallons a month available as safe yield from that creek, I defy anyone to be able to pull that out of what you're standing in there. I just, there's going to be that sound of the fat kid finishing a milkshake and some fish flopping on the sand.
Yeah, they won't flop long.
All right. And on that not-so-cheerful note, we're going to take one more break here on the Edisto TV podcast. We'll be back with more after this.
This is Tom from the Edisto TV podcast, and I just want to put in a word for Tyler Brothers. They've been serving the Blackwater region for over 100 years. Check them out at tylerbrothers.net, or if you're on Facebook, you definitely want to follow them and get the latest deals from them. You can find them at facebook.com/Tyler Bros. Tyler Brothers, since 1904, it's the place for you to be on a Saturday afternoon. They're open 8 to 6, 6 days a week, closed on Sunday. Stay away from the superstores and visit Tyler Brothers in Wagner.
And welcome back to the Edisto TV podcast. I'm here with Doug Busby and Tom Slyker. And we're pretty much, I think, all of agreement in the room that, we continue to see threats to the Edisto and other surface waters in South Carolina, all of them under the existing Surface Water Withdrawal Act. I think that we all are, wishing that our ongoing conversation with the folks on the other side of the issue would bear fruit. I don't know how optimistic I actually am about that. And Doug, you've been much more directly involved in that than me. Before we move on, any thoughts on what you think that process needs or might yield?
Well, we've got a meeting tomorrow with Farm Bureau leader, President Mr. David Winkles, and conservation leaders are sitting down, and hopefully we can discuss in an orderly fashion and what we've seen and what we've come to realize about the safe yield formula and about the flaws in the law. And there's some movement within Farm Bureau that want to see it changed and do not want to harm the rivers in any way. But there are those who are dead set against changing anything, and they believe that it is the farmer's right to have water. And but again, we really need to have a law in place that does not overallocate or does not give the farmer a false sense of security or any industrial permittee. The current law does just that. It gives a false sense of security and overallocates our resource.
All right. Well, we definitely are going to keep on hammering away on this, and hopefully we will see some positive progress. You've been with us right from the start, or I guess we've been with you. And as we go forward, we look forward to having you back to talk about this, hopefully with some positive developments as we go along. Speaking of positive developments, last Monday you and I went over to Williston. The folks from EPA were reporting on their ongoing work at the Admiral Appliances Superfund site over there. And I was vaguely aware that there was one. I honestly, until it was brought to my attention, did not realize that Spur Branch was a tributary to the Edisto from over there in Williston. I have some thoughts about what we saw over there. Do you have any initial comments?
I wasn't aware of it either, Hugo, until in the meeting we had at the co-op. We had a large crowd, 400 people there, and a gentleman stood up and said, "Y'all worried about the river drying up?" Said, "You better be worried about what's going in it over here." And Mr. Dortch, I later learned his name, and he was at the meeting the other night and gave me a little history of what had gone on at the Admiral plant. And it started back in the 60s. They had had some leakage from a paint shed. And what was the other source?
I think there was a lagoon that they had where they, you know, settled wastewater.
They had a lagoon, yeah. That's what it was. And it essentially was dumping into Spur Branch. But they have gone in through the via the Superfund and cleaned up a good portion of the lagoon, cleaned up all of the lagoon and disposed of it in a lined landfill, and are in the process of pumping some type of...
They're doing some sort of slurry of nutrients, which is supposed to help the bacteria that will consume the volatile organic compounds.
That's correct.
In the plume. So basically, yeah, what's happening there is they spilled some nastiness on the ground. It soaked in. Some of it was going into Spur Creek, which was then going on into the river. Over the past 6 or 7 years, their plan went into effect, I think, in 2005, 2006. Right. They have picked up a lot of the dirty stuff. They are working to remediate the rest of it. The big concern over there, I think, in terms of the residents, is the groundwater situation, because the VOCs and the groundwater have potential health effects. Their plan called for an expansion of the city water system to water users in that area so that wouldn't be a problem. I heard sort of mixed messages. EPA seems to think that dealt with the problem. DHEC was concurring with that. Local residents seemed to feel like maybe there were people in the affected area who had not received the coverage from the waterline expansion. You know, I've begun to become something of a regular attendee at things like this. It sounded to me like this one is being handled about like they handle them. And certainly if I was living in the affected area, I would be very focused on it because it is serious. In terms of a huge threat to the quality of water in the Edisto system, I didn't really get that from it, but we certainly appreciate people bringing it to our attention, and we will continue to, I think, keep an eye on that as news continues. It seems like at this point, though, they're working the plan, and if sure. The plan is good, then it'll be good, and some people don't think that the plan's that great, so that's where that sits.
That's exactly what I took, exactly what I got out of it, too, Hugo.
Okay, and one last thing, I guess, is today is Labor Day. And two of the hardest working men I know, Tom and Doug, taking a day off to do the podcast. And also, we got together and had us a good time, little steak cookout. on the banks of the North Fork of the Edisto earlier today, and I appreciate the invite to that, sir. Guys. It's a pleasure to know you and work with you on this.
Very nice. Very nice.
Good day to be swimming in the river.
Yes, sir. Good cool dip in the river.
Yep. It was 99 degrees when I was driving my truck out from the riverbank down there, so definitely a good day to cool out in some black water.
Amen.
All right. I think that brings us to the end of another Edisto TV podcast. This is episode 15, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Good day.
This is the Edisto TV podcast, produced by Edisto TV, connecting the Blackwater region.